Today's shir is Masechtas Tzvachim Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom Tana Rabbanim. We continue learning the halachas of doing avoid the b'chutz. When is it considered that somebody did something b'chutz that wasn't supposed to be done outside the Azara, for which there's a chiv karas b'mezet, chiv malchus b'shayik? Says the Brais, Tana Rabbanim, as we discussed in the previous Mishnah in the Gemara, Hamnachse Shloiches Lugamayim B'chag, b'chutz, if somebody pours on sukkahs three lugam of water outside of the Azara, the halacha is chayiv. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Lezer holds, imol l'shem chag, if he did them l'shem chag, he will be chayiv. My benayu, ask the Gemara, what is the machloikis? We'll read this braisa, but we don't really understand where they're arguing. It says the Gemara, Amrav Nachman v'yitzak, b'yesh shir b'mayim k'mifki. So the way Rashi explains the Braisa is that according to the Rabbanan, if you did Shloshes Lugamayim or more, you'll be Chayiv on Sukkos for doing an Avoid the B'chutz. Whereas according to Rabbi Lezer, it's only up to Shloshes Lugam. If you did more than Shloshes Lugam, you will not be Chayiv, which Tosfos finds very difficult to understand, because Tosfos says that the wording doesn't seem to say so. Because if we look at the wording is Hamanasach Shloshes Lugim, that's what the Rabbanim say. The Rabbanim speaks strictly about Shloshes Lugim, and Rabbi Lezer doesn't speak about Shloshes Lugim. So to say that the Rabbanim are the ones that will be Mechayiv, even by more than Shloshes Lugim, and Rabbi Lezer will hold differently, is somewhat forced in the wording. So before we say Tosfos is pshat, the Achronim explain why indeed the Rashi say this pshat, even though it doesn't flow with the words. So Mefarshim explain, because in all the pshatim that the Gemara is going to offer in the explaining the Machloikis, Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanan, Rabbi Lezer is the Makel, and the Rabbanan are the Machmirim. And that's why, in order to remain consistent with that approach, Rashi explains it this way, even though it's somewhat forced in the wording of the pshat. Tosfos, however, because of his question, and is obviously not that concerned with Rabbi Lezer, according to one pshat being a machmer, and according to another pshat being a mekel, learns the Gemara as follows. The Rabbanan hold that you only chayiv by Shloshes Lugim, not anymore. And Rabbi Lezer will hold that you chayiv even by more than Shloshes Lugim. Another pshat that I saw that the Mishkanes Yaakov holds is as follows. That let's say somebody already brought the Nisach HaMayim properly in the Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Rabbanan, it makes no difference. And according to Rabbanan, Hamnasach Shloshes Lugim, whenever you pour water b'chutz, even if you've already done so, it makes no difference. You're chayiv. Whereas according to Rabbi Lezer, only if you haven't yet done the Nisach HaMayim in the Beis HaMikdash, and then you go and you do it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, will you be chayiv. But if you first did it already properly in the Beis HaMikdash, if you afterwards do it chutz lazara, even though you took the right amount, you'll be potter. Another way that I saw that the Sfasemis, and I think it's really the Rabbeinu Chananel that explained the Machloikis according to this Pshat is as follows. That according to Rabbanon, it has to be Shloshes Lugim. Let's say you'll do less than Shloshes Lugim, the Rabbanon will hold that you're not Chayiv. Whereas according to Rabbi Lezer, given that Rabbi Lezer doesn't use the word Shloshes Lugim, even if you do less than Shloshes Lugim, you will be Chayiv. That's one pshat. Another way of explaining the machloikis is because of the nesach b'midbar k'mifgi. The question is that did they bring nesachim in the midbar? Which means as follows. There's a pasuk. The pasuk reads, V'idab Hashem Moshe Leimor, V'idab Abnei Yisro V'mat Aleim, Ki Suvo Al Oret Meshviseichem, Ashi Noisun Lechem. Where Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that when they come to Yisro, they should do Nisach Hayayim. Now the question is, what does that pasuk teach us? Because as we've discussed, and we'll discuss more in Mitzvah Shem in the Mishnah that we're going to learn tomorrow, there were periods in the history of Klal Yisrael. First, the Mishkan was erected in the Midbar. During that time, there were no bummas. After the Mishkan was in the Midbar, they came to Eretz Yisrael, and for the first 14 years that they were in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was in Gilgal, but it wasn't considered really in a permanent place. And during those 14 years, they were allowed to bring Karbonos on bummas. Then the Mishkan was put into Shiloh, and they were allowed to bring Karbonos in the Midbar. They were no longer allowed to bring Karbonos in the bummas. Now the question is, these Nisachim, when the Torah says, "El Eretz Moshevei Seichem," what is the Torah teaching us? Is the Torah teaching us that only when a permanent Mishkan in Shiloh, as I just mentioned, is put up, that's when the din of Nisachim will begin? And then when those Nisachim begin only at that time, not before that time, is there a din of Nisachim? Why? Because there were no klisharis until the Mishkan was put up in Shiloh. And for there to be a din of Nisachim, according to that opinion, we have to have klisharis. The other opinion, and therefore in the Midbar, and in the first 14 years that Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, there were no Nisachim. The other opinion holds that the word Nisachim, already in the Midbar, and when the Torah speaks about Eretz Moshevei Seichem, the Torah is teaching us that not only in the Midbar do you have Nisachim, but even as soon as you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, you already have Nisachim. Eretz Moshevei Seichem is as soon as you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, and you only have, as I said a moment ago, the bummus, the first 14 years, you could bring Nisachim, because Nisachim don't require klisharis. And that, suggests the Gemara, is the machloikis of Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbanan. According to Rebbe Elazar, the Torah is teaching us only when there's klisharis. Before there's a klisharis, there is no Nisachim. And therefore, you have to have klisharis. And if they weren't put into klisharis, they wouldn't be Nisachim. The other man, the Rabbanan, hold, you don't have to have klisharis for them to be considered Nisachim. Of course, the Rishonim already say that when the Gemara here says there were no Nisachim in the Midbar, according to one opinion, we're going to learn that opinion, more about that opinion in a few moments. That only means Rashi and other Rishonim say regarding Karban Yochid. Karban Tzibur, says Rashi, that there was certainly Nisachim even in the Midbar. And the Migdash David brings the Gaval de Garaya, because we know that ain't Shira El Ala Yayin. We could only say Shira on a carbon with Yayin. And certainly Shira was said in the Midbar. So if there were no Nisachim in the Midbar, according to this opinion, how could Shira been said? It must be that where everybody agrees there were Nisachim by carbon Tzibur, the Machlaikas we're discussing is only by carbon Yochid. Furthermore, according to the Manda Omer, that says that you don't have to have Kli Shares to have Nisachim, and that's why they were Nisachim ready in the first 14 years that Klai saw in Eretz Yisrael. Again, here too, we have a Machloikas Achroinim. What does that mean? How could there be Kedusha on something without them being put into a Kli Shares? Rigdish David, the Karen Ari Amin, seems to learn that they only had a Kedusha Stamim, but a Kedusha Stamim is adequate. The Brisker Rav seems to learn that even though they weren't put into klisharis, the Torah is teaching us that even though normally for somebody to get a kedusha, it has to be put into klisharis, here klisharis is not required. Furthermore, I saw a machlokes achronim that the Gemara is saying that according to one opinion, there were no nesachim during the years in the Midbar, the 40 years in the Midbar, the first 14 years in Eretz Yisrael, and we said it means Nisachim of a Karban Yochid. What does that mean? There were none, they're not allowed? Or does it mean it's allowed, but they weren't obligatory? And actually, perhaps that Machloikas is connected to the Machloikas of the Karen Oyer and the Prisker Rav. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting Medrash. According to the opinion that says that there were Nisachim during the years they were in the Midbar, So where did they have wine? Where did they have wine all those years in the Midbar that they could bring the Sachem? Really, the question is, even according to the Ma'adamim, they weren't on the Sachem. We just said the Sachem on the carbon seber, there certainly were. Where was the wine for it? So one Ma'adamim in the Medrash says that they bought wine from merchants who traveled through the Midbar. And there wasn't yet an Isser of Stam Yenam. That's one approach. But the Medrash quotes a different opinion. That from the Eshkol, from the cluster of grapes that the Meraglim brought from Eretz Yisrael, they produced enough wine to bring for all the Nesachim. And specifically, according to the Ma'adamim that says they were regular Nesachim in the Midbar, it's a tremendous amount of wine. They were able to produce enough wine from that cluster of grape to last them 40 years in the Midbar. And Ravina Amar, the other Ma'adamim says, Plimeidim Nesachamayim Nesachayim Plihi. Which means that everybody agrees that Nesachamayim it was done in the Midbar. And the question is that Nisach Hamayim, the question is, the Tanakhama holds that just like by Nisach, there was Nisach Hayayin, even if there were no Klisharis, the same thing will apply by Nisach Hayayin, by Nisach Hamayim. Again, everybody agrees that you could have Nisach Hayayin without Klisharis. The question is, does the same rule apply to Nisach Hamayim? The Tanakhama holds that the same rule applies to Nisach Hamayim, and therefore you don't have to have a Keli. Rabbi Lezer holds that we don't say that Nisach Hamayim travels together with Nisach Hayayin, and even though Nisach Hayayin therefore doesn't require Klisharis, Nisach Hamayim does. And as the Echronim say, Rabbi Lezer is very much Lishitosoi that we described at the end of the previous year. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Rish Lakish says that we know the halacha of Nisach Hamayim, not like Rabbi Kiva said that we learned the halacha of Nisach Hamayim from Nisach Hayayim, but rather it's an independent halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and therefore they have different rules. Nisach Hayayim indeed doesn't require klisharis. Nisach Hamayim does require klisharis. Now the Gemara quotes another braisa which is very similar to this braisa. Tana Rabbanan Menasach Shloish Lug Yayin B'chutz. If you Menasach Shloish Yayin, Shloish Lug in Yechayiv, Rabbi Lezer B'Shimin Oimer, V'huchu Kitchen B'Kli. They have to be put into klisharis. Says the Gemara, Mai B'nai, what is the basis of the Machloikis? Omer of Adda Bar Yitzchak, Berutsu Midas Ik B'nai. We know sometimes you can fill up a keli, and you can have an overflow. And if you have an overflow, the question here is, is that overflow going to be qualified for the nisach, to be considered wine, that if you use that wine, b'chutz, you'll be chayif. So Pasha Pshat is that you included that wine with the Shloisha Slugim. But that's how Rashi seems to learn. But the Achronim have a very big problem with this Pshat. Because the Achronim say, if you're bringing Shloisha Slugim of wine that was in the Keli, and you're adding on top of it some more wine that overflowed on top, so why would that change the reality that you brought Shloish Shlugim b'chutz? So I saw a number of answers to this question. The Karen Ira explains as follows. He says, the Gemara is referring to a situation where I don't have three lugim of wine that were in the cup. The only way I'm able to get three lugim is if I include the wine that overflowed. Tanakhama says that could be included to achieve the Shloisha Slugim, even though they weren't actually in the cup. Rabbi Lezer holds, no, they have to be in the cup. And if I don't have three Lugim, unless I combine wine that wasn't actually in the cup, it won't be considered that I brought wine that I should be chai for. That's one pshat, Karen Oyer's pshat. Chazanish says a very interesting pshat. Chazanish says that we're referring to a situation where they combine to get three Lugim of wine that wasn't in the cup. You just got three lugim put together of overflow wine. Tanakhama holds that still will make you chayiv. Rabbi Lezer says it will not be chayiv. Svasemis says another pshat. Svasemis says pshat is that let's say you have wine that wasn't in the cup. So according to Tanakhama, the fact that, because it's the overflow wine. So according to the Tanakhama, the fact that it wasn't in the cup doesn't bother me. It doesn't have to be in the cup to be chayiv. Whereas according to Belezer, in order to be considered wine that Yechayif and Nisachayayin, it has to be wine that was actually in the cup. And wine that's not in the cup cannot be combined. Rava Berei, the Rava Amar, Kavan Nasuk and Babi Ikabinayu. The Machlaikis, as we just discussed, when the Sachem already brought in the Midbar, or plucked the Dahani Tanoi, the Machlaikis that we just described on Tapet Amit, the Tanya, Bamas Yachid, Einet Zrich Nasachem. If you bring the Sachem, if you bring a Kavan of Bamas Yachid, you don't bring the Sachem along with it, Divri Rebbe. The Chamarim, Tuna Nasachem. That you do. What is the basis, says the Gemara, of the Machlaikis of Rebbe and the Chachamim? The Hani Tanoi, Kani Tanoi, the Tanya, as we quoted the Pasuk earlier in our Shir, the Pasuk says, Kisavou al Eretz Moshvei Seichem, Kisavou Latina Nesachem Bebama Gedoy Lakos Bedaber. The Pasuk is teaching us that when they will build the Bama in Shiloh, that's when they start Nesachem. Continues the Braisa. At the Omer Bebama Gedoyla, is that indeed the Halacha only when the Bama Gedoyla in Shiloh is erected, do they start with the Nesachem? When they start immediately, when they get into Tzisrael, and they have their own Bamas all over? Kishu Omer continues this Mandama. El Eretz Meshveseich, Meshveseich, Asher Noisen Lechem, Harri Bebama, Hanoheges Bukulchem Akos Bedaber. It's the communal Bama, which is the Bama in Shiloh, Div Rebbe Shmuel. But before that, there weren't no Nesachim. Why were there no Nesachim? Because there were no Klisharis. Because Klisharis is only by the Bama Gedayla. And without Klisharis, Rebbe Shmuel and Rebbe and Rebbe Lezer hold as no Nesachim, and therefore you wouldn't be Chayiv, as Rebbe Lezer says, for Ma'al B'chutz. Rebbe Kiva has a whole different definition. Kisavo, he says the Pasuk is teaching us, Latina Nesachim B'ma K'tana Kas B'daber. That even if you have just the B'ma K'tanis, the first 14 years, you already have the din of Nesachim. At the Omer, and the Braisa continues to probe Rebbe Kiva's opinion, At the Omer B'ma K'tana, is that the halacha that only by the B'ma K'tana does that halacha apply? Or Yaina Ela L'B'ma G'dayla? Or maybe what the Pasuk is teaching us is that when they get to the B'ma G'dayla, that then and only then do the dinner of Nesachim begin, says the Rebbe Kiva. K'sho'im al Eretz Mashveseichem, Harei B'bama Kol HaMeshavas HaKos Medaba. The Pasuk is teaching us that every Bama, even the Bama Stoker that they were allowed to use in those 14 years, you can have Nesachim, because Nesachim, as Rebbe Kiva, and as the Chachamim, and as the Chachamim of the Brice that we began to share with today, all hold don't need klisharis, and therefore, even though there is no klisharis on the Bama Ketana, that doesn't prevent the chiyuv of the Sochem. Continues the Gemara. What is the basis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel's machloikis? Shtim tzloima, l'divri Yishmael l'nekav n'sochem amidbar, l'divri Rekiva kav n'sochem amidbar. And as the Achronim explained the Gemara, the Torah, as we quoted the Pasuk numerous times in today's Shir, says, El Eretz Moshvei Seichem. Poshe Pshat, say the Achroinim, is like Rabbi Shmuel. El Eretz Moshvei Seichem means the Bama Gedayla. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva ought to agree with Rabbi Shmuel. What prevents Rabbi Kiva from agreeing with Rabbi Shmuel? Because they already brought Nesachim in the Midbar. So it doesn't make sense, Rabbi Kiva, that they brought, then why would the Torah say when you build the Bama Gedayla in Shiloh, you have to bring? Of course you have to bring. They already brought in the Midbar. It must be that the Torah is teaching us a new din. Del Eretz Moshe Sechem, that we're entering Eretz Yisrael, and they're only going to have for those first 14 years the Bamas Yochid, still bring on the Bamas Yochid the Sochem, even though you don't have the Klisharis. Whereas, Rabbi Kiva disagrees. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, and he holds that they didn't bring the Sochem in the Midbar. And therefore, he teaches El Eretz Moshe Sechem, as the simple Taish implies, only when they get to the Bama Gedayla. Why? Because the Sochem require a Klisharis, and there were no Klisharis in the Bama Siachet. We learned in the Mishnah. Again, in talking about the different avoiders for which there's a Chiyiv, if you did it B'chutz, Rav Nechemya says, we learned many times in our Masechta, that if you pour Dam, the Shiori Adam, the leftover blood had to be poured on the base of the Mizbeach. If you do it b'chutz, you'll be chayif. on Rabbi Yochanan, turn to Rabbi Nechemya. What is the basis of Rabbi Nechemya's opinion? Kedivrei Omer Shiarim Atvin. He follows the opinion that the Shiarim are essential. And since the Shiarim are essential, it's considered an avoidum. So I saw that the Achronim explain. Certainly, it is the, even if Rabbi Nechemya holds that the Shiarim are essential, it's not to mean that the Shiarim bring the Kapara. The Zrikas Adam is what brings the Kapara. And as the Achronim go on to say, certainly there is no Chiyuv Me'ilah on a carbon once Zrikas Adam was accomplished. What he's teaching us is that that we need to have, to effect the complete avoid of the carbon, you have to have that the Shiari Adam should be poured on the bottom on the Mizbeach. And the Achronim go on to say, it doesn't mean to say that Rabbi Nechemya will hold, that let's say you lost the Shiarim, you wouldn't be able to have kapara with the carbon. Of course you could have kapara with the carbon, even if the Shiarim were lost. He's saying, if the Shirayim are here, they have to be poured on the base, and if they're poured outside, it's considered an avoid the b'chutz. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Shiari Adam Shekriyim B'chutz Chayv, as we learned in the Mishnah. Amar B'kiva, so B'kiva says, V'lo Shiari Adam, Shiari Mitzrayim. How could you give so much credence to the Shiarim, to the Shirayim, and say that if you did it B'chutz, you Chayv Karis B'mezid, Chayv Malkus B'shoigig, it's not an essential mitzvah. And as I've said previously now, Shiurim, what is the basis of the Machloikas of Rabbi Kiva and Nechemya, if the Shirayim Ma'akvim or not? Rav Cheskel Abramsky in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel explains as follows. He says, the Machloikas is how to understand the avoider of pouring the Shirayim on the base. Rav Nechemya holds that's part of the avoider of the carbon. So just like all the other procedures that are involved in the carbon, so too is this procedure required. Rav Kiva holds it's not a procedure relevant to the carbon. It's a procedure relevant to the dam, to the blood of the carbon, but it's not essential to the carbon itself, and therefore it's not ma'akif. Amalei, so Rav Nechemya brings a raya to his position. Evarim bedarim yichichu. I bring a raya that my position is right, because you burned evarim and the bedarim, and if you burned those evarim bedarim, even if you didn't burn the evarim bedarim, or let's say the evarim bedarim got lost, it doesn't affect the effectiveness of the carbon, yet, she'eshur mitzvah, yet we've been learning, I'm a krim b'chutz, it's chayif. Amaloi, so Bekiva says, so you see that the fact that they are or aren't essential is not what's critical. Amaloi, so how does Bekiva defend his position? Loi, imavad b'varim b'darim, if you're going to say b'varim b'darim, then even though they're not essential, if you did a b'chutz y'chayif, she'en t'chilas avoida. They're considered t'chilas avoida. Taimer b'shiyare adam, she'en t'chilas avoida. So the Rishonim try to understand what makes Avarim Bedarim Tchilas Avoida and Shiari Hadam not Tchilas Avoida. I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Avoida of putting the Avarim Bedarim is included in the middle of the all the other Avoidas. It isn't the final Avoida. Whereas, and that's why, whereas pouring the Shirayim is the final Avoida. So if you compare Shiari Hadam Avarim Bedarim, it's Avarim Bedarim is not a Tchilas Avoida, because it isn't a final Avoida like Shiari Hadam are. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. We know that the halacha is, we discussed this halacha previously in our Masechta, that if Avarim Bedarim are on the Mizbeach, and those Avarim Bedarim fly off the Mizbeach, the halacha is, you have to put them back on. Now, putting them back on is an entirely new procedure. So Avarim Bedarim, says Rabbi Kiva, can be, in certain circumstances, an entirely new avoida. Whereas, Shiari Adam, it can never be the beginning of a procedure. Now, says the Gemara, if we began this piece of Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan saying that the basis of Rabbi Nechemya's opinion is that the Shiari Adam are ma'akif, why didn't Rabbi Nechemya address Rabbi Kiva to the point? That the Shiari Adam are ma'akif. And that's why they should certainly be chai b'chutz. The fact that Rabbi Nechemya did not defend himself with that statement says the Gemara is a proof that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. Because if Rabbi Yochanan were right, that's what Rabbi Nechemya should have said to Yufta. However, says the Gemara, v'hashtu the Amar of Adabar Hava. Now Rabbi Adabar Hava said the machloikas, the Ivram Nechemya, who says that the Shiari Adam that were done b'chutz yechayif, it's only b'shirayim, achloikas b'shirayim apnimim, it's only the shirayim of the korban chatas that were brought in the base of Mikdash. Ah, b'shirayim chitzoinim, but the shirayim chitzoinim, divrei hakol loy ma'akva, aren't ma'akiv, ki kam Rav Nechemya, so now we don't have a problem. Because when did Rav Nechemya say his din in a Mishnah, that if you did the shirayim b'chutz yechayif, and Rabbi Yochanan explained because the shirayim ma'akiv b'chatas apnimim, ki tanya hi, when did Rabbi Kiva say it? Shraim Chatzoinim. Shraim Chatzoinim don't have the issue. But ask the Gemara, we're going to skip the parentheses. Tosfos is very bothered with the right girsa. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, so why do you have to speak about the Evarim? He should have just said, I agree, but the Chatzoinim. Says the Gemara, Dvar of Rabbi Kiva coming. He doesn't agree with it. He says that the pnimim is ma'akiv, the chitzonim and that, but he wanted to say, even according to you, that you hold this way, this is how I would defend myself. Says the Mishnah, hamaylikas yoif b'fnim, if somebody does malika in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, the hell, we know, we said this many times, that the way a bird is killed when it's brought for a carbon, it's not with shechit, it's with malika. So somebody does malika in the Azara, and then he did halah b'chutz, he's chayif. What about malak b'chutz? If he did the malika outside, the halah b'chutz, he's potter. And there are two explanations I saw to why. One explanation is, simple explanation, because malika b'chutz is not an avoida. Right? The way you're supposed to kill a bird outside the basement is with shechita. So outside, it's not an avoida. Another pshat which I always like to learn with, is that malika outside of the Azara makes the bird into an avela. And therefore, you're not dealing with a kosher bird, you're dealing with an avail, and of course you potter. On the other hand, says the Mishnah, Hashoich l'sa'if b'fnim, if you do shechit on a bird inside, and again, if we're following the pshat that we're going to work with, so that made the bird into an avail, because a bird in the Beis HaMikdash should be killed with malika, not with shechita, and therefore the bird is an avail, and therefore if you chel b'chutz, you potter. On the other hand, shochet b'chutz, if you kill the bird b'chutz, v'chel b'chutz, and then afterwards, Yamalit b'chutz, yechayiv. Why? Again, with our pshat, it's very gishmak. Because when you shech the bird outside of the Azara, the bird is not an avela. And therefore, yechayiv. Although, there is a machlokes rishonim, which is a recurring machlokes rishonim throughout this entire Mishnah Gemara. When the Gemara says, shochet b'chutz, v'hela b'chutz, chayiv, what does it mean? Are you chayiv both for the shechita and for the halah? Or since the shechita is not an avoida, you're only going to be chayiv for the halah, but not for the shechita. Machlokes rishonim. Summarizes the Mishnah with a difficult wording. Nimta derech hechsher b'fnim, poter b'chutz, derech sher b'chutz, poter b'fnim. What makes you chayiv in the Beis HaMikdash, malika, will make you poter outside, and vice versa. Now the Gemara quotes a statement from Reb Shimon, a very cryptic statement, which is going to be the focus of the piece of Gemara we're going to learn in a moment. And we'll work with understanding Rav Shimon together with the Gemara. But just let's read the words of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon Omer, Kol shechayavin ala b'chutz, chayavin ala kiyotzba b'fnim, shel b'chutz. Whenever you bring a carbon outside, you chayiv inside similarly, chutz ma'ashach b'fnim amal b'chutz. Again, let's wait to understand it for a minute. So the Gemara asks a question. After the Mishnah quoted the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Mishnah summarized. The Mishnah says, whatever makes you chayiv in the Azara is potter outside and vice versa. But let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah wasn't kol shechayuvay, what makes you chayiv here is potter outside or vice versa. The Mishnah used the word hechsheroy. What does the word kosher mean? The word doesn't make any sense here. Hayechsherohu, chayuvahu. The word is chayuvay. That what makes you chayiv inside makes you potter outside and vice versa. Why does the Mishnah use the word hechsher, right? Answers the Gemara indeed. Tani, you have to change the word of the Mishnah chayuvay. So Rav Shimon said, kol shechayavin lo b'chutz, wherever you chayiv outside, you chayiv inside. Ask the Gemara, what does Rav Shimon mean? Ahechikai. Let's analyze Rav Shimon's statement. Ilay ma reishikai. Perhaps we'll say that Rav Shimon's talking about the reisha. That we learned in the reisha. That hamoylik oif b'fnim v'hel b'chutz chayiv. However, if you, the Tanakhama's opinion is, Moloch b'chutz, v'hela b'chutz, is potter. And on that, Rav Shimon says to the Tanakhama, that I disagree with you, and I hold, k'heichad b'fnim b'chayiv. Just like if you did Malika in the Azara, and then you were Mala b'chutz y'chayiv, I'll hold b'chutz nami m'chayiv. Rav Shimon will be a machmer, and hold that moilut b'chutz, and Mala b'chutz, you'll be chayiv. And here we shine them all say that you can't be chayiv for moilik b'chutz, because moilik b'chutz is not an avoida. What Rav Shimon says is that if you were moilik b'chutz and then you were malik b'chutz, for that bird that you were moilik b'chutz, you'll be chayiv for malik b'chutz. And that's what Rav Shimon is coming to be machmer. Says the Gemara, if that's what Rav Shimon says, then let's look at his wording. What he should have said was, koshach hayovim la'b'chutz, the Mishnah says, koshach hayovim la'b'chutz, chayovim b'fnim. He should have said just the opposite. He should have said that Yechayev Malika b'fnim and Allah b'chutz, and not only Yechayev Malika b'fnim v'Allah b'chutz, but also Yechayev Malika b'chutz v'Allah b'chutz. He says just the opposite. So that can't be what Rav Shimon's saying. Suggest the Gemara another approach. Ella kehecha the b'chutz l'mechayvi. The Gemara is suggesting that just like you're not chayev when you were molik b'chutz and mal b'chutz, b'fnim, Rav Shimon's going to hold a kula, that if you're moilik b'chutz and mal b'chutz, nami lo chayiv, you're also not chayiv. So Rav Shimon here is a very big makel, that even malika b'fnim v'alo b'chutz, you potter. Ask the Gemara, if that's what Rav Shimon says, hi, kol she'ein chayovin lo b'chutz, wherever you're not chayiv outside, you're not chayiv inside. But that's not what he said, he says just the opposite. Kol she'chayovin lo b'chutz, wherever you're chayiv outside, you're chayiv inside. Again, doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara, perhaps what Rav Shimon means, a sefer koy. He's going on the sefer of the Mishnah. It's said in the sefer of the Mishnah, Hashoichet oif b'fnim. If somebody was shoichet an oif in the Azara, v'hela b'chot is potter. However, the opinion of the Tanakhami is that if you did the shechita b'chot and the law b'chot, yechayiv, to which Rav Shimon says, k'heichet b'fnim lo mechayiv. Just like you, the Tanakhama, hold that shoichet b'fnim v'hel b'chutz is potter, I'm going to tell you b'chutz that if you did shechita b'chutz and Allah b'chutz, nami lo mechayiv. Ask the Gemara if that's what Rav Shimon is coming to say, that just like you shoichet b'fnim and hel b'chutz you potter, similarly shoichet b'chutz v'hel b'chutz you potter. So then the wording doesn't make sense. He said, Kosh ain't chayovim b'oilei. That just like you're not chay b'fnim, shaykh b'fnim v'hel b'chutz, so to shaykh b'chutz v'hel b'chutz. But he says, chayovim. He doesn't say, Kosh ain't chayovim. Ella. So the Gemara suggests a different way of explaining Rav Shimon. That Rav Shimon means to say, Kehechet b'chutz m'chayvi, that if you did shechita b'chutz, and halah b'chutz, the Tanakhama holds you chayiv, says Rav Shimon, that b'fnim nami m'chayiv. That if you did shechita b'fnim v'alah b'chutz, you'll still be chayiv. So the Gemara, you can't say that that's Rav Shimon's opinion. Hoktani, the last words of the Mishnah read, chutz man ha-shoich b'fnim v'amal b'chutz, where Rav Shimon clearly teaches us that shoich b'fnim v'amal b'chutz is potter. So that can't be Rav Shimon's opinion. So what we've had here is, the Gemara has tried four different ways of explaining Rav Shimon's opinion and not been successful. So we're still stuck. Rav Shimon made a statement in the Mishnah. What did he, does he mean? Says the Iri, Shechitas behemah belayla ikka benayu. We have to say, because of all the kashas that we've been asking, that Rav Shimon's not talking about birds. He's talking about behemah. And as I saw the Mefarshim explain, it's very difficult to say so, because the subject of our Mishnah is birds. And all of a sudden, we're saying that the subject of our Mishnah is behemoth. Rashi already sort of has the kashan. He says, Chsuri Mechsura. We have to say that we're starting to talk about behemoth. But the Mefarshim go on to say, it's not so difficult. Because we already said that we already, in the first words of our Gemara, had to modify the wording of our Mishnah. That the Mishnah used the word Hechsheroi, and we said it doesn't really mean Hechsheroi, it means Chiyuvai. So the Mefarshim say, just like we had to modify the word Hechsheroi and change Hechsheroi to Chiyuvai, we're going to also have to say that there's words missing in the Mishnah. And even though the beginning of the Mishnah speaks about birds, now the Mishnah starts talking about animals. And this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Hashach behem b'fnim b'layla. if somebody did Shkita Behema in the Azar B'night, the Hela B'chutz is Potter. Why? Because Shkita's Laila is not a valid Shkita. And the Rishonim explain, it is the opinion of the Tanakama that Shkita's Laila is such a serious disqualification that the Aloch is an Olu, even if that animal was put on the Mizbeach, Yardu. And we've learned many times in our Perek that wherever the halacha is, that im olu yardu, if you amala such a thing b'chutz, you'll be potter. Vachkamer. Again, hashoich behem b'fnim b'layla b'hela b'chutz potter. Whereas if you did shchita b'chutz b'layla b'hela b'chutz, since shchita s'layla is not a problem outside of the azara, says the Tanakam you'll be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon's opinion is, just like you, the Tanakama, hold Shechita b'chutz b'layla, the Hela b'chutz b'layla is chayiv, he'll also hold Chayom al kiyotz b'fnim, the Hela b'chutz. If you did Shechita b'fnim, the Hela b'chutz, you'll be chayiv as well. Chutz, the Rabbi Shimon agrees, Hashoich roi b'fnim, the Hela b'chutz, that you'll be potter. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold? Continue the Rishonim in explaining that a shoychet b'fnim b'layla the hella b'chutz is chayiv, because Rav Shimon holds that shoychet b'layla the halach is m'olu lo yardu, and we know that wherever there's a din of m'olu lo yardu, if you take such a carbon where there's a din of m'olu lo yardu and you amale it b'chutz, you'll be chayiv. That's why Rav Shimon is more machmer than the Tanakama. Interesting machloikis, Rambam and Ravid. Here Rav Shimon is saying that if you shoychet b'fnim b'layla, v'hella b'chutz, y'chayiv. So Rambam and Ravid argue, when will you ma'ala b'chutz in order to be chayiv? The Rambam says it doesn't make a difference when you ma'ala b'chutz. As if you ma'ala b'chutz, y'chayiv. The Ravid says, you have to be chayiv for shoychet b'fnim b'layla, v'hella b'chutz, the law had to be at least by day. But if you shoychet b'fnim b'layla, and you hella b'chutz b'layla, you'll be potter. What is the explanation of the Rambam's opinion? So the Lacha Mishnah suggests two opinions. One pshat is, since the Rambam holds that Shechita is a valid act even by night, because Shechita's Chulin might take place at night, that's why Rav Shimon holds Shok B'fnim B'layla, the Hela B'layla is Chayif. Another pshat is, because it all goes back to what I've been saying. Since Rav Shimon finds that Shechita's Laila has so much validity, what's the right that Shechita's Laila has validity? Because the halacha according to Rav Shimon is im olu lo yardu, so it doesn't make a difference when the halacha is b'layla b'yoyim. Rav Amar and the Achronim say that Rav gives a different explanation. Again, Rav's explanation says that the machlokes of Rav Shimon the Chachamim is about animals, but Rav's explanation is a different explanation, very similar, and therefore the Achronim say just with a different case. And therefore, the Achronim say that it's not necessary to say that Ziri and Rav are arguing. They're just giving different examples of the basis of the machloikis of Rav Shimon and the Tanakama. And the way we're going to Ezra Hashem explain, I think it'll be very understandable what I'm saying. Rav Amar Kabbal b'klichol ikbenayu. The machloikis between Tanakama and Rav Shimon is if somebody did Kabbalah not in a klisharis. Vachikamer. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. The Cain. The Tanakama's opinion is that I'm a kabbal b'kli chol b'fnim v'chal b'chutz is potter. Why? Because the Tanakama's opinion is that the disqualification of kabbalah b'kli chol is such a serious disqualification that im olu yardu, even if it was put on the mizbeach, it should be removed. Therefore, it will mal such a thing b'chutz, you'll be potter. Whereas I'm a kabbal b'kli chol b'chutz v'chal b'chutz, the Tanakama will hold the yichayiv. Shimon holds that if you Tanakama hold that you makabel b'kli chol b'chutz and you amale b'kli chol b'chutz yichayiv, I will say ki yotzeboy b'fnim v'hela b'chutz, that you makabel b'kli chol b'fnim and you amale b'chutz, you'll be chayiv. Where will I agree with you? That in m'shoich oy b'fnim v'hela b'chutz, there I'll agree that you're potter. Why? Again, following the way the Rishonim teach us. Because Rav Shimon's opinion is that if you makabel b'kli chol b'fnim, it is im olu lo yardu, so that does have a level of kedusha, and therefore amal b'chutz. Rav Shimon holds such a carbon that you makabel b'kli chol, yechayiv, if you amal it b'chutz. However, now says the Gemara, We've just given two beautiful pshatim of Ziri and Rava that say the machloikis of Rav Shimon and Tanakam is about animals, even though it's inherently difficult to say that our Mishnah is talking about animals. Then the Gemara goes back. And the Gemara says, Hash to Tana Avud Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, that a Molek Oif Befneh Behel Bechutz, if somebody does Malik Befneh Behel Bechutz Chayiv, Molek Bechutz Behel Bechutz, the Tanakama holds that since Malika outside, as I've been explaining from the Mishnah, is an act that makes the burden to Nevela, therefore your potter, Rav Shimon holds Yichayiv. And that is the Machlokes of the Tanakama Rav Shimon. Molek Bechutz Behel Bechutz. Aye. And that's Rav Shimon Hasman Kali, that's what Rav Shimon is referring to. Aye, if that's what Rav Shimon referred to, we already suggested this possibility earlier in the Gemara. But the Gemara said that then the wording of Rav Shimon is difficult. If you say that that's what he means, that molek bechutz, vehel bechutz, because that's not what he says. He says we have to change the wording. Kol shechayav lo befnim, vehel bechutz, chayav bechutz. We have to change Rav Shimon's wording. Again, consistent with the way we've been learning the whole shiur. Doesn't bother us that much to change the wording of this Mishnah, because we have to constantly do it anyway, and say that what Rav Shimon's saying is, kol shechayav lo bechutz, which means Yudah Tanakama holds that, kol shechayav lo befnim, Yudah Tanakama hold that molek befnim behel bechutz is chayiv. I say not only molek befnim behel bechutz is chayiv, but even molek bechutz behel bechutz is chayiv. Says the Mishnah. Chata shekibul dam b'kais echad. If a karm chatas, the dam was in one kais, so that dam is supposed to be put on the mizbeach. If you put that dam bechutz, v'chaz v'nos befnim, and then you put the dam befnim, so what you've done is no good, because you put dam that was supposed to be on the mizbeach, you put it bechutz, so that's called ma'ala bechutz. What happens, asked Achroinim, Chaznish and the Sfasemis discuss, what happens if you take that dam, you already did the Aveira, your ma'ala bechutz. What happens if you put that dam befnim, at least will you have a kapara? So they say, no, you won't have a kapara, because that dam was all taken out of the Azara. And dam that's taken out of the Azara becomes disqualified. And once it's disqualified, you can't use it. However, they say, if what you did was that you took that dam and you poured some of it into another cup, so the dam that you took out and you were ma'al b'chutz yichayiv, but the dam that remained in the Azara, you could put on the Mizbeach and yes, have a kapara. Let's say you followed the opposite example. Befnim, v'chaz v'nos b'chutz. First you put the dam properly on the mizbeach befnim, and then you put it b'chutz, y'chayiv. Shekula roi befnim. And as the Gemara is going to teach us, immediately, not today and tomorrow, shir. Why? Because our Mishnah is following the opinion of Reb Nechemya, that the shiori hadam are essential. So even though you put the dam properly in the azar, on the mizbeach, the leftover blood still should not be put on the outside. And if it is put on the outside, yichayiv. Now, the Mishnah discusses another situation. In the first case of our Mishnah, all of the dam was in one cup. What about if kibul dam b'shtei kaisiv, if the dam was put into two cups? So if nosin shneim b'fnim, if you poured from both cups, and the mizbeach apnimi, you shouldn't have poured from the second cup, but you didn't do anything wrong. If shnei b'chutz, if you didn't both b'chutz, yichayiv. Why? Because one of those cups at least should have been put on the mizbeach. And the Rishonim go on to say, if you did the two cups on outside in two halamis, you'll be chayiv two chattis. Ech b'fnim ve'ech b'chutz, one b'fnim and one b'chutz, potter. Why? Because once you did the first dam inside, the second dam, Gemara is going to explain it tomorrow, shir, the second cup becomes dochui, even a coin trip shim, because it wasn't in one cup, it was in a second cup, and therefore you potter. Echa b'fkot, but if you did the first cup outside of echa b'fnim, chayiv al achitzen, because you shouldn't have done it, because it should have been done, you should have done the zrikas adam first, but v'chnim b'mechaper. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, l'ma adavad doima, how can we compare this case? L'ma fresh chatosoi. Let's say somebody separated carbon chantas v'ovdoi, and he loses that carbon chantas, now he designates a second carbon, and now he designates sub carbon chattis. And now, before he brings the second carbon, he finds the first one. So he has now two carbonis in front of him, that the halacha is that he could be makriv any carbon that he wants. So not halacha is. Shachet shteim b'fnim, if he shechted both inside, he's potter. Because the second carbon that he doesn't use can, should be left to graze and be sold for carbon oiler. But the halacha is if you use it for carbon oiler, you're fine. Shteim b'chutz, if you did both b'chutz, you're chayiv. Because both of them could have been a carbon chatas. And how did you take it outside? Achas b'fnim, v'achas b'chutz, if you did one inside and one outside, the second one now becomes chatas shekipru balel. And the halacha is a chatas shekipru balel. Is left to die, and since it's Kata Shekipra Balea and it's left to die, there is no Chiv for being Malik Bechutz. So again, Echas Befnim Echas Bechutz Potter. But what about Echas Bechutz for Echas Befnim? Chayv Al Chetzayna, because at that point you could have theoretically still used it for Karban Chattas, for Pneumius, but the Pneumius will be considered your Karban Chattas. Shem Shadama Poites Besorah. Let's say if you did both Karban Chattas inside, and you did the first Zrika properly, Shem Dama Paitas Pesara, just like the that blood makes the first Karmachatas completely kosher, you could eat the meat, and it's no longer subject to Mila. Kach, similarly, since the second animal now should not be brought as a carbon, it's Mesa, Paitaris is Pesara Chaverta, and as the Roshanim explained, after the Zrik Stam of the first carbon, the second carbon will no longer be subject to Mila.